Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Happy Friday, everyone. Today is August 22nd, 2014, and welcome to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. I'm glad that everyone is here and hope that you're having a blissful day so far. If you feel like you're just feeling so good and want to shout it out, you could do that. And call in at 347-426-3751. I'm on Twitter at TDay60, Instagram at TDay60. You can find me on my Facebook fan page, The Bright Side with Technisha. We have a special guest. Of course, all my guests are special. But while we're waiting, I'm going to hit you with the tunes. Do not touch that dial. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio.
pleasure when you treasure all that's new and true and gay. Easy living and we're giving what we know we're dreaming of. We are one having fun walking in the glow of love. It's a wonder, it's so clear. By a fountain, climbing mountains as we hold each other near. Sipping wine, we try to find that special magic from above as we share our fair talking in the glow.
We're back on the air, and it has been a talk for some hours now about the executioner who killed the American journalist. This one Frenchman who said he was held captive with the murder of American journalist James Farley for months said today he has a rough idea who his executioner is. Didier Francois said a video of the suspected British jihadist stirred painful memories of being chained up in the dark with Mr. Farley and other ISIS hostages in Syria. It came as a former M16 chief said the British jihadists will be identified and the SAS will be sent to Syria to bring him to justice. The suspect accused of murdering the reporter has been named as John, one of a gang of British jihadists known as the BTs who are guarding restrained hostages for ISIS. Mr. Francois, a 53-year-old reporter with radio station Europe One, said, recognizes a very big word, but I see roughly who it is. So we'll be having more information out on that. I will probably post it up on, well, I will definitely post it up on my Facebook fan page when we have more information of who this actually is. Hopefully we'll be able to identify, because on the video they have the mask up. This is such tragic incidents. I think that's why I never wanted to do international news. I just want to stay right here. If I'm going to die, I want to stay right here and get shot. I don't want to go across seas and get killed. I'd stay in my own home. I'd rather be here than get attacked by a terrorist. That's why I never want to do international news at all. But anyhow, we're going to get to the fun part of this show because that's what it's all about. I start you off with maybe a little bit of sadness, but I'm going to keep you motivated at the same time. So anyhow, going left field. Now, most of us grew up on all the horror classes. We can remember Jason, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Psycho, The Shining, all those good movies that really just made us cringe our teeth and hide up on the covers. But turning and giving it a new spin is this new movie out called The Sledge. It's a horror comedy. It's kind of like poking fun on the horror classes we grew up on, but it's awesome. And here with me to explain it all is Mr. Christian Hansen, who is the writer, director, and the star of Sledge. Do call in at 347-426-3751. The chat box will be open up for you. First and foremost, I want to say, Christian, thanks for doing this interview with me. I really appreciate this.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I think this is an awesome movie. You kind of took a little challenge there to take a spin on making a horror comedy because we're so used to the and hearing all those different types of horror sounds and everything, but you made it a comedy. I like the fact that you sent me the trailer. I appreciate that, and I do like that the character Adam, who's the villain in here, is talking, which we normally don't get. So what made you decide to make him want to talk?
Well, you know, I grew up with, you know, as you say, like Michael Myers and Jason and all them, but I grew up loving, you know, Chucky the doll and Freddy Krueger because they talked. You know, they had a personality other than, you know, when Jason and Michael Myers did their head tilt, you know, and their slow movements and stuff like that, it was terrifying. But, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of money to make this movie. We made it for $800, and I knew that if I wanted it to be good, it wasn't necessarily going to be scary, so I wanted to throw humor into it because I'm a big advocate for like horror comedies like Shaun of the Dead and Tucker and Dale versus Evil. So that's why I ended up making him talk and I ended up making him more fun.
Oh, well, I definitely love that part. You took a chance, like I said, doing that, and that's awesome. It's something different. You gave us something to look forward to because you're so used to them horror movies like Jason. You already know what they're sick. We know what they're sick off Jason. We know he's going to make the down. We know he's going to come and get you. He's not going to ask any questions. He's just going to slice you up. But now, most of these horror movies, I too much don't like some of them because the action goes so quick. You're like, really? Are you already killing? Can we get like 15 to 20 minutes into the scene before you start killing? I need them to know that they're not going to get killed just yet, or just give me a little bit more time before you could jump right on in. Because like the new Halloween, I liked it, but I didn't too much care that you just took my Michael Myers and you made him big and he had all this hair on his head. He kind of was doing a little too quick. He was moving too fast in there. I like when Michael Myers, he was kind of like, he was like a pimp with it in his movie. I'm going to walk slow. Yeah, you keep on running, but I'm going to catch up with you. You don't even know I'm behind you, but I'm going to find you. But then they made him all big. He just running. I'm like, really? He can't. Come on now. Oh, they just I don't like when they mess with the classes too much. I like them just keep them simple. Don't come messing with the classes and changing everything around now. You can't do that to Michael. But now, tell us about Sledge, though, Christian, and the people involved.
Sure. Sledge, first off, like you stated before, it's a horror comedy film based on a character by the name of Adam Lynch who believes he's in a movie or a video game. And so throughout the movie, you don't really know if he really is or not, or if he's just kind of crazy. That's why the tagline on the poster is, you know, he didn't drown. Like, you know, the tagline pretty much goes, he didn't drown, Jason drowned. He didn't burn, just Freddy burned. You know, he's just a psycho with the sledge. Because I didn't want to give too much into his back history, because again, it gives the, I think the less you know about somebody, like in a horror movie, it's more scary. Like the Friday the 13th remake, the one thing I really didn't like about the remake was that they showed Jason going through the tunnels, and that's how he got to people so quickly. So when I made Sledge, there's actually a scene where, like, you know, the people are running away from him, and you see Adam Lynch just walking through the forest, and he goes, you know, you go ahead and go that way. I'm going to take a shortcut. And it was kind of a nod towards the remake for kind of doing that because, again, like you said, Michael Myers is slow, but he always shows up. Jason's slow, but he always shows up, and that was always the most scary part. But the people involved, I co-directed it with my buddy John Soviasek. Our lead actor was Dustin Bowman. Our lead actress was Stephanie Tupper, and then we had Travis Hanson, Desiree Holmes, and Russ Matos. And, you know, we all came together with just a love for horror movies and wanted to do something fun and unique, and luckily we were able to do that. And due to the fact we filmed it up in upstate New York where Russ's dad owns a bunch of land, we had our entire set pretty much for free because it was the land that his dad owned.
Okay. So now we got a little history on, just a little slight sneak preview into the Sledge. And like you said, we got so used to these horror movies the way they are, but it doesn't hurt to get used to a movie that you don't know nothing about. We don't know nothing about Sledge. We're getting this a new character coming out. Now, was it a challenge just trying to keep it original, trying to even come up with a character that's original, like Freddy and Jason?
Well, I think the hardest part with that is, you know, no matter what you do, people are going to compare whatever your killer is to somebody else, just because of, you know, there are so many great ones out there. That's why when I created Adam Lynch, I kind of blended horror icons into him. Like Freddy, I got the personality, the jokes, and the humor between Charles Lee Ray from Chucky and, you know, Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. The mask is of human, you know, supposed to be of human flesh that was that's like sewed together and stapled, and so like Leatherface. But we ended up putting initials, like my initials, my wedding anniversary, and all that kind of thing, like dates and stuff inside of the mask to make you go, okay, what is, you know, what exactly was that from? And then the overall outfit look, I intentionally made it look like kind of like Jason from Friday Part 2 and 3 with the blue pants and that kind of thing.
No.
So, yeah.
Like I said, I really do. I thank you for sending that trailer to me. And this is why I want to know, why did you choose a sledgehammer?
Well, the sledgehammer, funny enough, me and my co-director were down in L.A. at a shop called Dapper Cadaver, which is a place that the show Dexter would buy props from and stuff. So we were walking around one day, just kind of looking around, and I saw this foam-headed sledgehammer that looked real. And I told him, I go, if we make a horror film, I'm going to write it about a sledgehammer. And so when I ended up sitting down and writing Sledge, I automatically thought of the weapon of choice for the killer would be the sledgehammer. And it was all just by luck, like literally just going that day and seeing it. It was the last one they had and seeing it, and ended up writing it probably two, three weeks later.
Probably was a better take anyway, because now it's getting so old with the knife. We have seen Chucky use the knife. Michael Myers, we know that. Machete for Jason, but it's still on the same style as a knife. So nice take on that, because we do need something new. I mean, I ain't going to give up on the classes, but most of all the classes that we have seen, I think even Psycho, knife. You know, it's always a knife playing a part in it, except maybe the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Well, where he just used the chainsaw, but, you know, I'm glad to see a different type of weapon. And I was looking at Texas Chainsaw. A lot of people always thought that movie was just based off actual true story, but it's totally different. Instead, it was inspired by true events. It came from a man in 1957 who actually did those things, chopping up people's body parts and half furniture made out human skin, but it was never actually true story. Sorry, people. And the event didn't happen in Texas. It happened in Wisconsin. So, you know, just a little info for all the people out there who really thought it was actually true story. Now,
it's based off of Ed Gein.
Right. It was. It's a great movie. Are you planning on doing the same thing like the rest of the movie actors, making a sequel?
Yeah, we actually wrote the sequel, and it's more in tune with having more fun with the horror genre. Again, I grew up watching horror movies, and I love them. And Sledge, we want to play more into the fact that, you know, Adam thinks he's in a movie or a video game for the sequel. So it's already written, and we were originally going to film it probably this week. Due to my job, we ended up pushing it up a year. So Sledge will come out in October on DVD, and then we plan on going to film the sequel next August.
Okay, awesome. Now, have you always been a fan of horror movies?
Oh, yeah. Since the age of five, my mom showed me Child's Play when I was 5 years old. And I tell the story. I still remember the nightmare I had at five, waking up seeing the Chucky dolls all around me. And then I remember seeing Nightmare on Elm Street when I was six. And my dad took me to go to KB Toys because I was going to get my tonsils out. And he told me to pick any toy that was under $30. Well, they had a talking Freddy Krueger doll for $29.99. And that ended up being the thing I chose. And my dad I guess he wasn't too happy that I knew who Freddy Krueger was and that I wanted that doll. So, yeah, I've been a fan of horror since originally my brother Ronnie has told me that I've been watching horror movies since the day my mom brought me from the hospital, sitting me up on the couch while she watched horror movies. So, been in my blood for 30 years now.
I would say I probably was in elementary when I first started watching Freddy Krueger movies, and I used to always get psyched out because, you know, they always said Freddy Krueger was going to get you in your sleep, don't go to sleep. And every time I would go to sleep, it wasn't that I was scared to go to sleep. It was just that I said, I'm always missing the stop. And I used to relate that to Freddy Krueger because my mind was like, Freddy Krueger on took my socks. Every time I go to bed, my socks are off, and I didn't understand that. I think I was just doing it myself, but just watching that and trying to associate it with my socks, I'm like, Freddy Krueger is stealing my socks. Why is he stealing my socks? So I would be scared to go sleep with socks on because I would just finish watching that movie. But my mother wasn't the kind to stop me from watching. My girls, they watch horror movies too, and they love them. So I don't try to blend them away, shun them away from watching them. Hey, if you want to watch them, go ahead. But I'm going to let you know this is a horror movie, and if you are scared, you better keep your nightlight on, because that's the only alpha I do have for you. Now, did you always intend to make a horror movie yourself? Has this been an intentional, ongoing thing, or you just came up, pop, let me do this?
Not really. I've always been a huge fan of movies and stuff like that, and when I moved out to California for the military back in 2008, I started off doing movie reviews with a puppet I created called Astley, and he's actually the horror host in Sledge for the beginning of Sledge. I met my co-director, John, on Twitter, and he ended up helping me with the Astley videos, and it just kind of snowballed from there where he ended up having me write a script, and we ended up filming it, and like they always say, you know, the rest is history. I mean, pretty much since I was a kid, I always wanted to do something or make movies. I just didn't know how to go about it because I grew up in Gilbert, Arizona. So I've been to California one time in my life by the time I was, you know, 21 years old, and that was when I was 5. So I didn't know how to get into the business or anything like that. And it was just pretty much, I call it, you know, God had a path for me and took me right to the path of meeting John and writing, and all of a sudden, you know, we have a movie out that, you know, it's really funny and really cool that the day the video on demand launches on September 2nd, that'll be the 2-year anniversary of us finalizing Sledge, because that was the last day we filmed, was September 2nd back in 2012.
Awesome. You know, I think it's just so exciting, though. You get this opportunity to actually be in a horror film, and it sounds like it's so much fun. And like we said, as you did, I basically just grew up watching horror films, and I love them. I even love the teen slasher ones that no one really focuses on anymore. But I always wanted to be in a horror film just to see what it's like to run from this person all day. I think I would probably be scared out of my mind just to know that this, even though I know it's not real, but just that effect. Oh, my God, they're after me. But now, tell us about the concept of Adam living in a movie and video game world, because I think that's what you said he's in.
Yeah, he was a construction worker. Again, you know, I was thinking of with the sledgehammer, what job would he do? And, of course, I thought of construction. And then, you know, we're in an age right now where comic book movies and all that kind of thing is so big. I was like, why can't somebody just kind of snap one day and all of a sudden kind of think that they're actually living in a comic book movie or a video game world or something like that? Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of unneeded violence going on around, you know, with teenagers and stuff like that, that I could actually see somebody, you know, having a mental issue and thinking that they're in a video game. I mean, there's been cases before where people have supposedly planned on, you know, going to schools and shooting them up because in their head they're thinking it's just a video game. And I wanted to go with that with Adam Lynch because, you know, why not? Why not take that kind of direction with the character? Because, you know, again, we have Freddy who haunts people's nightmares. We have Jason who haunts a campsite. And that's the other thing I wanted to make fun of, too, is constantly go to camp, go to a campsite when they know that everybody's going there and they constantly die. And Adam wants to make fun of that, too. Like, that's the thing, is Adam's sitting there at his campsite, you know, and he goes, why are people keep coming here? People keep dying here. You know, that's so in his head, he's like, I have to be in a movie because people are not this dumb to constantly come back here time after time just for me to kill them. So that was the other aspect we wanted to look into was, you know, in horror movies, why do they keep coming back here? You know, and that's the thing is Adam, you know, vocalizes that. He goes, why are they constantly here? Like, people were just murdered. Why would anybody come back? So to make it a video game / movie world, you know, we had to make fun of and poke fun of all the other horror movies for countless stuff that they do that, you know, because, I mean, I've watched tons of Halloween movies and Friday the 13th movies, and I look at my friends and go, why do they always come back here? Why would you come here, you know, when you know people are constantly murdered?
Right, and then what always gets me, you hear a noise, and all of a sudden you want to go out there and start investigating on it. I'm not going to investigate on anything. I'm not, even if it was in real life. If I don't see it, I'm going to call the police, or I'm just going to stay put. I'm not going to go out there and do that. And then here it comes. Here comes the or Michael Myers, I forgot. It's like, oh, come on now. And we always got the phone. I'm not gonna fall, I'm gonna keep running. That's what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna take them heels off, because they usually always have on heels, Christian, sometimes in the movie. I'm gonna take them heels off and I'm gonna go. So I think that always used to be the key part off, but the fun part was just knowing that you got caught and now you're about to die, or you just and another one, they sit down and start screaming. Okay, he's right down in front of you, but you're still screaming. So you're not going to run.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just going to keep screaming? Because I don't know if anybody would keep screaming in real life. I'm going to, oh, let me scream. Oh, go ahead, kill me. Don't stick me 5 or 6 times. Right. So that used to always be a bother to me, too. And you know how we holler at the screen, Christian. Run! Brother can't hear you. Just run, fool, run. I think it's a turn on, though, just to see it. You know it's going to happen, but it's just fun to see it. But once in a while, I like to know nothing. I don't want to know that you're going to get ready to kill them. I like those kind, because I used to take film up in class, and we used to talk about that, whether you know this is going to happen in the film. So I don't want to know. Is it easier to make a movie now than you would say probably 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just cheaper. I mean, now you can, you know, we filmed on a Sony FS100, which is, it's a digital camera. Back in the day, you know, we spent $800 to make this movie. If we would have made it back in the day, it would have been so much more because you had to buy the film and the camera and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think if, you know, this was 20 years ago, I would have been able to necessarily do it because I don't think we could afford it.
Right, and especially with all the technology that we have out now, it's much easier to put a film up on websites or anything that you want to do, because now people are doing web series, so yeah, I will have to agree. I don't know if the professors who are teaching film will probably agree, because they'd like you to stay in the older times, but it is what it is, and I hope they can go along with that process. Now, did you have much of a budget?
No, our budget was $800 total for on screen. We ended up making our own blood on Russ's stove, and I sent $50 of latex buddy Matt to make the mask for us. So, and then I bought the clothes, which were like $40. The gloves are dollar store gloves. Adam Lynch's teeth are from Party City. And I wear a blackout contact and a redout contact lens. And those were down. I bought those down in Hollywood. Other than that, you know, the money was spent to make blood, to buy some of the props that we needed, to buy the sledge, and then for food and stuff on set.
Okay. So it was much difficult just trying to get the movie out on set.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, like I said, you know, if this would have been 20 years ago, there's no way we could have made it for $800. There's just, it just would not have been possible.
Right. Well, I'm glad times have changed, but I'm glad that you're on a good starting point. You got the movie out. I know it was some hard work because nothing's easy, but the main thing, when you overcome it, it feels real good. But now we got to keep continuing on now. So what did you discover then? Did you have to hold auditions, or were they some of your best friends?
Well, we did auditions, and Stephanie Tupper, who played Sarah, was really the one that came and auditioned, you know, and we picked her right away. But being in a small town, a lot of people didn't want to do the movie. Like, Potsdam, New York has a big university, but it was when we were filming, it was the first week of their school, and they didn't want to be a part of it. So we ended up, the characters that play Michelle, Nash, and Sean are actually friends with my co-director. And then Dustin, the guy that plays the lead actor, Alex, he actually found out about the audition from the Potsdam newspaper and showed up the night prior to talk to John. And then the next day, we weren't even sure if he was going to be there, but he showed up. And we always joked that he was like our angel, because he literally showed up and he played the character perfectly. And without him, you know, Sledge definitely would not be where it is to what it is today, because he just nailed the character of, you know, Alex being the typical jerk, funny guy in the movie.
All right. Okay. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to end up taking a short commercial break. We're going to come back with Mr. Christian Hansen, who is the writer, director, and the star of The Sledge. And we'll be talking more about the character that he plays in the video itself and giving you more details on when it's coming out. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Getting your child home safely.
Catch your heels together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There is no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travel.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
All right. I had to play a little clips from Psycho. We all remember that little scene, especially in the shower when he put on his mom's clothes and started doing the stabbing. That was my favorite little part, Norman Bates. And now they're doing probably a good 2 months ago, they were doing a series of Norman Bates, which, again, I don't like when they mess with the classics as much. It kind of disappoints me because classics is classics. You just can't go and mellow with them so much. But we are on the air with Christian Hansen, who is, like I said, is the writer, director, and the star of The Sledge, which is more of a twist on our classics. It's a horror comedy, and it will be coming out very soon to you, and we'll be giving you that information. Now, will the audience, Christian, expect to see comedy throughout the whole movie?
Yeah, from pretty much the beginning when Ashley pops up to introduce the movie, you'll see that we intentionally made it funny, and we hope that people, you know, when they actually watch it, will enjoy it. and enjoy the humorous part and the scary part. So I think it has a mixture of both for those. Because people that don't normally watch horror movies, they came to my screen, my premiere screening I had last June, and they loved it, and they said it was hilarious, but at the same time, it was scary, but it had a nice blend of the two, so it wasn't too scary for them.
All right. Now, because I like the fact that you have him actually making jokes. He's joking before he kills the person, then he jokes after he kills the person, so that's a new take on that one.
Adam, to be a little bit different, and I'm big on improv and being able to joke around. So I wrote lines for myself, but I also allowed, you know, whatever came into my head during the scene, I also said. So there's quite a bit in it that I didn't end up writing that I end up saying that made a lot of people laugh. And Dustin, the guy that plays Alex, did the same thing. So we played off each other really well to make it look and come off really funny.
Now, did you always intend to play the bad guy yourself?
Yeah, when I wrote it, I told my co-director, John, that, hey, you know, I don't trust anybody else to sledgehammer, you know, I'm afraid somebody will get hurt, blah, blah, blah. In reality, I just wanted to play the character.
I know that's right. Now, where did you find the killer's mask and clothes? Because in one way, when I looked at him, Christian, I said, oh, it looked adorable. Not trying to shut it down. It looked adorable how the mask was, and I was like, I don't know now. I'm kind of having a different change of heart, but anyhow, where did the mask and clothes come from?
The mask, after I finished writing the script, I sent a text message to my buddy Monster Matt Patterson, who does masks and writes like funny horror stories and stuff like that, and said, this is what I wrote. This is my idea for the mask. Would you be able to do it? And he jumped on it. I just had to pay for the liquid latex for him to make it, and that's where the mask came from. The clothes came from a mall in the store. And the gloves were from the 99-cent Dollar Tree up in Potsdam before we started filming.
Oh, and I'm glad he said that, because I thought I was the only one who probably, out of my friends, shopped at Dollar Tree. You know, everybody try to act like they don't know nothing about Dollar Tree, but that's where exactly I got all my girls' food supplies from. Right there, a big box of crayons for a dollar. Might not have all the prettiest colors ever in the box, but I say it's a dollar. Like, notebook paper, everything. You can go right to Dollar Tree and make it for a dollar. My $7 is okay, but I like Dollar Tree because everything is actually a dollar. Now the film has been released on VOD first, before DVD. Is VOD the way of the future, you think?
I think so. I've seen that happen a lot more, where movies will get released on video on demand. You know, and maybe even bypass the theater. Or there's a recent horror comedies that are coming out that I see that give VOD, but also like a limited theatrical. And it's comfortable to be able to stay at your home and watch it on the big screen instead of going to the local theater and paying $13, $14 for each ticket, plus, you know, $4 and $6 for a large drink.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the comfort of being at your own home and saving money is the way that people will start going towards.
Yeah, I do agree, because they do. They charge an arm and leg just for your children to go in, because my girls are 8, so I'm paying like at least $8 for them, and I think I paid $10 or $12 for myself to go to AMC theaters, and then by the time you get in there, of course, you're going to want probably a little snack, so that's extra, and it's just ridiculous, like you said, because most now they're giving you the option. Well, they got the option now where as soon as when the movie comes out, it's on video on demand on your TV. So that's very awesome before it even hits DVD. So I do love that option. You could pay like $5 or $6 to watch a free movie at home instead of going out to the movie theater and have a broke pocket. So, yeah, I do love that. Have you shown the film at any film festival?
Yeah, it got into Twisted Tales Film Festivals, Indie Fest, and Action on Film. And we won an award for merit at the Indie Fest. We were nominated for Best Horror Film at the Action on Film Fest. So those were the three that we got into when we were able to show Sledge.
Awesome. And I cannot wait. for it to just blow up and go big, because right now it's all over the internet talking about The Flash. This has been a number one movie that is really being talked about, so I hope everyone gets the opportunity to really check it out. It should be on your shelf by the time Halloween comes. That should be your number one movie. So which role did you really enjoy doing, writing the screenplay or playing the villain?
The villain was fun. I mean, I loved playing Adam Lynch because in his head he's not the villain, he's the hero. Because, I mean, how many times do you watch a horror movie and you actually find yourself rooting for Michael Myers or Jason because the other characters are just so terrible and stupid that you're like, oh, I just killed them already. So getting to play the Adam Lynch character in The Slasher was just so much fun, and I definitely enjoyed it, and I look forward to doing it again.
Well, I know you do, because I know it got to be totally different, man. Just putting that mask on and know that you are a different person. Do you feel like that sometimes you are Adam when you're not in costume?
Well, I wrote the character based off of myself, so yeah. I mean, the humor and the jokes and the personality and stuff—that's me. The only thing I don't do is go around and, you know, bash people with the sledgehammer. So yeah, the character is definitely me. The humor, the smartassness, everything like that.
Right. Well, that's a good thing, because we don't want that to happen. Be like, dang, why they don't never invite me to the parties anymore? I don't understand.
Exactly.
He is not allowed. Everybody, just turn off your light when he comes to the door. So, what movies or directors really inspired this movie?
Director-wise, Kevin Smith was a big one. He directed the film Clerks and, you know, Mallrats and all that stuff. I grew up watching his comedy films, and that's where, you know, he helped shape my humor. And then when it comes to, like, horror directors, of course, you know, it's Wes Craven, John Landis from American Wolf in London, Steven Spielberg, John Carpenter, and so many more, just because, you know, Clive Barker. I love the Pinhead and the Hellraiser series, and he's another one that when Pinhead talks, you know, he's not funny, he's terrifying, and just the way that he talks and the elegance he talks. So definitely those guys. I mean, you can't, if you're a director and you're a horror director, you can't say that those guys and you know, help create your style or the way you think about horror films, because you grew up loving their movies.
Right, and I don't think I have any horror movie on DVD, but I usually try to watch the Sci-Fi Channel. But when Halloween comes, boy, I'd be glued. So I really want to request off for work when it's that time of the year, because I love my horror movies, and I know most of my friends don't agree. You know, I don't believe in all the witchcraft, but I just love the spookiness of it, and that's just me. I love my spookiness movies, and that's what I do. I watch them all the time. I love them. So what are your plans for Sledge? Is this a new franchise? Now, I know you said we're expecting Sledge 2.
You know, I'd love to continue to make them because they're fun. Like, the second movie is called Sledged. Again, you know, we were thinking about calling it Sledge 2, but we're like, okay, we have to kind of mock horror movies some more, so we're like, oh, we'll just call it Sledged. We'll add a D at the end, and then if we make a third one, we'll call it Sledged-a-da. You know, with two D's at the end. But the Adam Lynch character is a lot of fun. I'm planning on hopefully doing some Halloween shorts or something like that to release, as, you know, just some fun stuff for people to watch and enjoy. Because, again, when I love the character and the overall premise of what we created as a whole, as a team, and I'd love to see it continue going.
Me too, and I hope people do enjoy it. You know, everybody's always used to something new, but I hope they do give it a chance and really see that this is a new take. Our generation is changing. Everything's going to be changing, and we see that now with the video on demand, the way you stepped up and you just put a horror comedy in place. And a lot of these movies are doing it now. It's been out with the zombie movies, like you said, The Shaun of the Dead. That was fun. We so used to zombies just coming to eat you, but no one's never making a joke about it. So everybody's mostly putting a lot of jokes into these horror movies. now. So I think I like that. What is your favorite part about watching the film, though?
To be honest, my favorite part about watching the horror movies is actually going to like opening weekend as a theater where it's full and watching people's reactions. That's always been my most fun and favorite memory. Another reason I wrote Sledge is because I used to have movie nights back in high school where I'd have all my friends at my mom's house and we'd sit and watch the movies with our friends, and I'd watch the girls scream and jump and freak out. And to me, that's what movie making's about, is the reactions you get from people, whether they're good or bad, because I've gotten a lot of great reviews and I have a couple bad reviews where people hated it. But, you know, that's the thing, is I love seeing people's reactions to movies in general, because I think the more when people hate a movie, they're more passionate about why they hate it than some people that love the movie.
Right. But as long as you've given me criticism that will probably help me, don't just criticize the movie all the way down and you don't know why you don't like it, because I need to know why, what's really wrong with it. Of course, might not take heed on to it, because it is what it is. Everybody's going to either like it or they're not going to like it, but, you know, each to their own. That's how it is out here in this business. Even if you make a song, are they going to like it or are they not going to like it? So I think that's the whole climax of it all. You're going to get some on one side, some, and, you know, each to their own, like I said. Now, what are some of your favorite horror movies?
Well, my all-time favorite horror film and movie in general is An American Werewolf in London, because of Rick Baker's special effects. Like, it just blows my mind that the best transformation werewolf sequence happened back in 1980, you know, 34 years ago, and we still don't have another great one. The other one would definitely have to be Jaws. And a lot of people say, oh, it's not really considered a horror movie. It's a horror film to me, because it made me terrified to go into the beach and the ocean and... those are my top two favorite films of all time. Like, if I'm bored, I can watch those at any point. And then, of course, George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead are another two of my all-time favorites that I love to watch.
Right, and that's all you need, especially, like I said, for Halloween. You got costume ready. You know the pumpkins are carved. All you need is that good movie. And I would have to say my all-time favorite was Scary. I love Terry. I think that was a great one. Also, The Poltergeist. I love that one. Get into the light, little kid. Caroline, I love it. I do. I love it. Poltergeist is these are classes, man, that Ben and Christian are talking about. And I know some people probably don't remember. I think it was Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. That came out in 1986. I know I'm 1983, baby, but movies I have caught up with are Near Dark, 28 Days Later, Linda Blair, we can't even forget that one, The Exorcist. Oh, man, these are tracks that go on and on all day, but we're not going to blog you over all these passes, so we know you probably got some out there, too. So in the movie, Christian, what actually made the blood?
Sorry, what was that?
The question was, what made the blood? Not trying to go all the way and then spoil it for everybody. I just want to know what was the take on trying to get the actual blood to make it look so real.
Oh, well, pretty much, you know, to make it look real, Russ did some research online to find out, you know, how to make the blood, and it was, you know, red food dye, corn syrup, cocoa powder. And then the day that we ran out of cocoa powder, we added soy sauce instead. And I just did another interview recently, and I'll always apologize to Stephanie Tupper, because she's the one that had to put the soy sauce blood into her mouth and spit it out. And it was warm and it was gross. And so that was the thing, is like, like I said, research is the biggest thing to try to make things look as realistic as possible if you don't have money. And being creative with what you have.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing. So you know how to do it, especially when you don't have it. And I think that's a different take on somebody who does have it, because you're so used to when you have it, you're used to, you know that you're going to get it done. But when you have to actually struggle and make it do what it do, then to me that comes out better because you had to come from the bottom. And that's how I feel. When you come from the bottom and have to make up to the top, you are not going to do nothing but try to succeed, unlike a person who already have everything, a silver spoon, who already has money. So, you know, that's why I say kudos to you and your film. I really do. And I'm just hoping for more from you and everybody else who played in the film with you. So how did you enjoy playing Adam Lynch?
Oh, it was great. You know, he was fun to play. And like I said, he's a part of me. So overall, I got to enjoy just being myself on camera besides wearing a big mask and fake teeth.
Well, when can we all expect to see this movie?
The movie, you'll be able to finally see it after 2 years. Video on demand September 2nd, luckily on DVD upcoming October 7th. You can buy it off of Amazon or the website is sledgemovie.com, and we'll actually sign it and send it to you guys.
Okay. Now, before we go, tell us how we can contact you.
Sure. If you guys want to contact me, we have the Facebook page. It's Sledge Movie on Facebook. We also have Twitter, which is at Sledge Movie, or me personally is at Christian J. Hansen. I already told you about the SledgeMovie.com page where you can get the Blu-ray DVD. And then we also have our professional CH Productions website, which is chpfilms.com, where we also have a trailer for our next movie that we helped produce, and I acted again as another villain, go figure, called Peavy. But that one's not work appropriate, so do not watch it at work. Just telling you.
Well, I think we are all ready to continue this sub-genre of horror films, and we welcome the Sledge to the list, baby. So I thank you again, Christian, for being a real sport and letting me interview you. I'm hoping for so many blessings for you and your future endeavors, and congratulations to you and your crew for making a wonderful movie that I think is wonderful, and I'm hoping for the best from all of you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome, Christian. You have a blessed one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, that was Christian Hansen, the writer, director, and star of Sledge. Please make sure that you go out and get it. It will premiere in the U.S. on VOD September the 2nd and DVD on October the 7th. So please make it your job to go out and get that and add it to your collection for October the 31st. You know it's coming up very soon. Well, anyhow, before I actually get off, I want to talk about this woman who is taking on this Barbie lifestyle all of a sudden. I mean, I think this beyond the uncanny valley. Now, we have seen people go through so many extreme measures to look like human dolls before, but Blondie Bennett of California takes it to the next level. She doesn't simply want to look like a doll. She wants to feel like one on the inside. This woman makes Space Barbie and all other dolly-looking wannabes who make their rounds on the internet look like completely well adjusted people who aren't particularly obsessed with mutilating a toy. She has not only spent money on all this plastic surgery to close and spray tan to look like her, but she's stepping it up and going to weekly hypnotherapy sessions in the hopes of making her more vacant and confused like a humanoid plastic toy and not conscious and affected like a real human person. So what is everyone's thoughts on this? Is this a joke for some people? Do you think it's okay for her to do this? Or do you think that she just needs to stop and think about what she's doing? But what is it that's troubling her that makes her want to stop thinking, that makes her want to be a doll? Because a doll can't speak. Why Barbie in particular, not just a generic doll? So these are questions that we actually want to know. And she also said that she has the best life. All she does is shop and make herself look pretty. She doesn't worry about anything, which is probably a good thing, but I don't want to have to worry about nothing at all, but I don't want to go and get myself fixed up like an actual Barbie doll. If I could just have the scenario where I don't have to worry about anything, that'd be all right. And, of course, we know Barbie, doesn't have to worry about too much. But, well, one thing that a lot you have to say, she got to worry about getting chewed on and melted and maybe forced into a weird toy orgy or something like that, or getting her head pulled off. So to ask her to be a doll, I don't want that. So I don't know. We'll talk more about this probably on my next show or put on Facebook. But these are the things that I would like to know from you. Do you think that taking it to the next level for her is indeed a step a woman should do, or you think she should have backed up? I don't know if I want to go around looking like a doll, spending all my money on that just to be looking like a plastic. That's not who I want to do. But we'll see. Like I said, great news. It was a miraculous day for the Ebola patients. I'm glad that they made it through. So many who had to lose others to this. But you know what confused me? I thought they didn't have a cure for this. Well, apparently they do. So I'm kind of confused. So they have a cure or they don't? Because that's what they reported, that they didn't have a cure. So you know me, I'm going to end up doing my research anyway on that part. But before I leave you, I do want to give you the truth of the day from my friend and who is also my guest, Mary Ellen. Because I know many of you probably saying, who is Mary Ellen? She was one of my guests where we were talking about her having multiple sclerosis and how she made it through, how she still has it, but she overcomes that by still working out, eating healthy. So I think my truth of the day from her will be, first and foremost, I do want to say, you continue to reach for the dreams that God has placed within you. Never, ever give up, people. Don't ever give up. But for the day will be that this wonderful Friday, it's going to be a natural and wonderful way to live in the moment, to give yourself permission to play. A feeling of playfulness can spark your desire to stay now and savor every moment. Your childlike sense of wonder will wake up when you take time to bring the sense of wonder to your day. Make time for joy and fun. You could do this with your kids or grandkids, or you could just allow yourself time to play. Do something that ignites your sense of childish joy, such as swinging on swings in a park or building a sandcastle at the beach. Whatever. You can even do something as simple as buying some bubble stuff and blowing bubbles outside, ride a bike, or buy a hula hoop. Today, connect with something that brings you joy and give yourself to play. Enjoy the day and have tons of fun this weekend playing, everyone. As I always say, enjoy your day. You can, if you didn't catch it, you can find me at Twitter at TDay60. I'm on Instagram at TDay60. I'm on Facebook at The Bright Side with Technisha. Find me anywhere possibly. But I will see you tomorrow. You have a blessed day. Mwah.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.